This morning, if you would, open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. The lesson this morning is entitled Thanksgiving. I started on this last night at 10 o'clock and got done about 12:45, so it's not a very long lesson. But I think it has some good thoughts for us to talk about if I can stop coughing. Thanksgiving. When someone says the word Thanksgiving, oftentimes a big meal with turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy and all the other good things that go along with it come to mind. Maybe even pilgrims and Indians come to mind. However, that's not the Thanksgiving we're going to be talking about this morning. This morning we're going to talk about the Thanksgiving we are to give to God. And let me locate this scripture here. 1st, let's look at some Old Testament examples. I lost my place. Now let's look at some Old Testament examples. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And a little bit of background here. We won't read all this, but David and the elders of Israel, if you look back in chapter 15 and verse 25, and the captains, over thousands, went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. In chapter 16, so they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of Jehovah. And if we skip over to verse 7, we find in that day David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank Jehovah. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek Jehovah. Seek Jehovah in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done. His wonders and his judgments of it, and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Jehovah our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant always. The words which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan. As the allotment of your inheritance, when you were but few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, and from one kingdom to another people. He permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Sing to Jehovah all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For Jehovah is great, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but Jehovah made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to Jehovah, O kindreds of peoples, give to Jehovah glory and strength. Give to Jehovah the glory due his name. Bring an offering, and come before him. O worship Jehovah and the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, Jehovah reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness and the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before Jehovah. For he is coming to judge the earth. O give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be Jehovah, God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, Amen, and praised Jehovah. What wonderful examples we can use in our thanksgiving to God today. Now, some of the things don't pertain to today, but the praise that he was receiving from David and the people there are good examples for us to use in our thanksgiving to God. Let's also look at another one, Psalm 136. Psalm 136. O give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. O give thanks to Jehovah of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercies endure forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercies endure forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for our mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. More great examples of how we should be thankful to God, because his mercy does endure forever. Let's look at another example in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. A little background here. Darius was the king, and Daniel was a good person. And Darius knew that, and he was going to put him above many of the governors and the satraps, if not all of them. He was going to put them in charge. And some of the governors and the satraps didn't like that very much, so they got together and made up this new law or decree or a royal statute, whatever you want to call it, as chapter 6 and verse 7 says. All the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and the satraps and the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Verse 10. And a lot of times we talk about those who are faithful to God. I believe Daniel was faithful here. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, which was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. What a good example Daniel is for us today. With people in different courts trying to take God out of certain things in this country. People who are... I'm going to try not to be political here. Choose my words carefully. People that might not be wanting to do the will of God as much as they want other things in this country. We might have the same situation that Daniel had. We might be persecuted for serving Jehovah God. And how many of us are going to be courageous and faithful and bow down and give thanks to God regardless of what might happen? In the world today, there's a group of people called Muslims that will just as soon cut off your head as to have you not bow down to Muhammad. What position are we going to take if we're ever found in that? When we had the sword to our throat, are we going to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Or are we going to cower and probably lose our head anyway? Daniel is a very good example. Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. Now, we all know the story, or most of us should know the story, that God shut the mouths of the lions. I don't think God works that way anymore. But we can still have the courage and the boldness and the faith to continue to serve and worship Jehovah God, the only one true God, and His Son and our Savior, instead of cowering to the deceitfulness of man. Okay, let's turn over to Jonah, another example. Jonah. Most of us know the story of Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. So he decided to run. He decided to hide from God, which, by the way, you cannot do. God knows every move. And in chapter 1 and verse 17, now Jehovah had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And remember that Jonah got onto a boat and went out into the ocean, and he was trying to escape God. He was hiding in the bottom of the boat. A great storm came up, and the people couldn't figure out why they were about to perish. And then Jonah was found, and he told them that he's probably the reason why. They threw him overboard. Verse 17 of chapter 1, now Jehovah had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to Jehovah his God from the fish's belly and said, I cried out to Jehovah because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and have heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I look again toward your holy temple. The waters encompass me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought my life from the pit, O Jehovah my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered Jehovah, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray what I have vowed. Salvation is of Jehovah. So Jehovah spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. With the voice of thanksgiving, Jonah repents of his sin to God, and God delivers him from the belly of the great fish. Sometimes we get in circumstances in our lives. I don't know that any of us have ever been swallowed up by a great fish. And probably won't. Anyway, life sometimes gets a stranglehold on us. We think that we can't get out of the position that we're in. But there's always one being, one person we can turn to, and that's Jehovah God. If we've obeyed His commandments, He'll hear our prayers. And if we've done something wrong, He'll forgive us of our sins, if we truly repent. Jonah truly repented. God saved his life here. And Jonah went to Nineveh and preached to those in Nineveh. Okay, now for the remainder of our time this morning, we'll look at the New Testament. If you would, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our brother Paul tells us when we offer prayer and supplication to the Lord, we should offer with what? Thanksgiving. Let's look at some more examples. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Also 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I just had a thought, and I don't have the verse to go with this. Rejoice always. Paul talking here. Look at all what Paul went through. He was persecuted. He was in chains. He was beaten. He was whipped. All kinds of things. And he tells us to rejoice always. I don't know about you. I've never been whipped, beaten. I've never been in chains. Good examples here. How to be ever more thankful to God. What about 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 6? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now this is a command. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus taught us in Matthew to pray for our enemies. Now, some of us don't agree with some of the elections that just took place. Maybe some of us do. Brother David talked about this Wednesday night for a little bit at the end of the Bible class. Regardless of how we feel, we need to pray for our leaders, even if we don't like them. Now, maybe it's not so much that we don't like them. That's the wrong terminology. We don't like their views on things. We don't like the way that they might be trying to take this country. But we need to pray. And Brother Adonis did this the last time he was up here, and I remembered this. And this is the passage where he gets this. Verse 2, "For kings and all who are in authority," remember giving thanks, making supplications, prayers, and intercessions, "for kings and all who are in authority, that we," Christians, "might lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence." No matter what happens, we should pray for peace, that we can continue to serve God without persecution, and pray that we can continue to go out into the community and spread His gospel. That's maybe just as important or more important than trying to change the minds of kings and leaders, that they give us a peaceable life so that we can do the will of God without persecution. But again, if that time comes, we still need to be thankful to God and turn to God in all those times, whether good or bad. A lot of times it's easy to think, I'll pray to God when times aren't so good. Well, what about when times are good? God allowed that to happen too. And you can always pray when you have a bad time that it wasn't worse, unless you die, in which case you can't pray again. But let's look at Ephesians 1, verse 16. Ephesians 1 and verse 16. Do not cease to give thanks for you. I think that's the wrong thing. Let's go back to verse 15. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of you, faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So he's talking about praying for one another, which is something else we need to do. Maybe we know of somebody that's having a hard time. Right now, I can think of Brother and JP and Beth down in Alabama. Their congregation is not doing things that's right in the sight of God. And I got a call from her the other day. She just needed somebody to talk to. And she asked my opinion, and I gave it to her. And, you know, they found another congregation that right now they believe is preaching the truth, and they've been attending over there. Well, some of the people at the other church have been calling and, for lack of a better phrase, giving them a hard time for changing churches, you know, blaming them. You're judging us, and the words escape my mind here. You're condemning us. And she wanted to know when's a good time to leave. I said, listen, if you've talked to them and they're not making any attempt to even study to change their ways, I'd get out of there and go where they're teaching the right thing. So I'm assuming she took my advice, but I mean, you just got to pray for everyone, especially Christians. You know, when men start putting their think-sos into things, that could take the whole congregation down the wrong road, and a little bit of leavening leavens the whole lump. That's why we need to make sure everything that we're doing here is in accordance to God's Word. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another commandment by the Apostle Paul. To give thanks always for all things. Now turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And we'll see what's going on in John's vision of heaven. Sorry, when I put this together, I only put one verse, and I'd like to have like two or three of them. So I'm going back and looking to make sure. I don't want to go too far back, but anyway, John's has a vision of heaven and in the throne room. In chapter 7, and let's see, well, we'll start at verse 9. If it doesn't all go together, we'll just keep reading it. Revelation 7 and verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. We can see by these passages that we've looked at that God has received thanksgiving from His creation from the beginning of His Word to the end. I know I normally start at the beginning and go to Genesis. You know, when they offered sacrifices on the altar, they were thanking God. You can go back to Noah. Noah got out of the ark, he built an altar, and made sacrifices to God. From the beginning to the end. We are commanded in the new covenant to offer thanks or thanksgiving to God. We have so many things in which to be thankful for. So I thought about it and decided to list some. And this is a partial list. My wife. My life. My girls. My house. My car. Or cars, my job, my clothes, the air we breathe, the ground we walk on, drive on, plant crops in, the trees, the flowers, the grass, the water we drink, the food we eat, our health, our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, a merciful God, His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the way of salvation, the hope of eternal life in heaven, the freedom we have in this nation to serve God without persecution, the building we have to meet in here. I'm sure the list could go on and on with meditation. It could and it should go on. I want you to look at one more passage this morning, and that's Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And we'll start at verse 11. Luke 17 and verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. Now one of them, mind you, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus healed these 10 lepers. And one of them, only one of them, came back to give him thanks. Looking out over the crowd this morning, we all have something, or most of us have something, to be eternally thankful for. And that is that we've had our sins washed away by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have so many things to be thankful for in this country, especially this country. All the freedoms that we have. We need to meditate on the things that we have from God and not look at the things that, you know, such and such a thing wasn't very nice. I'll give you an example. The last 4 or 5 days. Now, at the beginning of those 4 or 5 days when the wind was blowing and it was 70 degrees outside, that wasn't so bad. The last couple of days, it's been 35 degrees. That's a little bit different. When you're working out there on a piece of steel machinery, like such as a combine that's not working right, and you lay your bare hands on that steel for just a little while and your fingers get so cold that they don't hardly want to move, still need to be thankful. We're still alive. We still have time to repent if there's something wrong in our lives. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember what we read in Psalm 136, the Lord's mercy endures forever. He's given us time to repent of our sins. If there's someone here this morning that has something in their life that's not right and they want to make it right, now is a good opportunity. God is allowing you time. If there's someone here who has not obeyed the gospel, which again, as I look out over the crowd, there's very few, we can help you with that this morning as well. Let's just remember that all glory should go to God in all things, no matter how successful we may be in life, no matter how unsuccessful we may be in life. If we have had our sins washed away by God, the most important thing we can think on is, are we going to be able to make it to heaven after the judgment day? Let's focus on that and put that first in our lives, and I think our lives would be a lot better. If there's anyone that we can help this morning, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.